Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
That's right, big voice man. It is an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday. And the Football Friday will continue with our show, obviously, for the next couple of hours. And then it'll continue on with The Drive, today helmed by Sean Bajani and B. Scott. And they will be out at Pop Stroke. And the reason why
I was going to say that.
I will remember that now because that's how I felt trying to remember what the damn name of the place was.
You're going to have a stroke?
I felt like it. I was like, it's pop something. It's golf. It's pop golf. No, it's Pop Stroke. And it's, you know, it's a miniature golf place that's designed by Tiger Woods. I'm excited. I'm going to go out there and play a little bit and hang out with the fellas.
By Tiger Woods?
That's right.
Hell yeah. Sir, no, I'm in. I like it.
It's called miniature golf, okay? Be respectful.
Whatever.
Didn't I just say be respectful? So, yeah, you can go out, hang out with the fellas. Obviously, they never come empty-handed, so there'll be giveaways. But also, don't forget, it is a Football Friday, so it is edition 4 of the signature glasses for Football Friday. This time, Area 45. It's kind of opportune the Bajani's out there. So you have...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the Bajani, obviously Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago on the glasses. Those will be available for you as well. So while supplies last, head out to Pop Stroke and Katie, 23110 Grand Circle Boulevard in Katy. I will be headed out there once this show is done. But this show is not done. We got stuff to talk about, including this Texans-Titans game. And let's do a little Texans win because Texans lose because. What are the reasons? What are the factors? What are the matchups that you think will help determine whether or not the Texans will get a victory in this one? John Lopez and listeners, 713-572-4610.
I was just going to say the same thing. I want to know what the listeners are thinking. Let's start win because. Let's go cup half full here, all right? Texans win because. You can toss in some lose because. 713-572-4610. Of course, comment on Twitch and YouTube as well. We highly encourage that. My win because is really pretty straightforward, and it's taking them at their word. It is taking the Texans at their word. If it was C.J. Gardner-Johnson. If it was C.J. Gardner-Johnson
with the big
and just
mistakes.
Three bad plays in three bad losses or losses that really spelled the difference, you don't have to be great, you know, M.J. Stewart. You just have to not have that lack of eye discipline or discipline in general and not, you know, not freelancing as much. You know, you don't have to be great. We're assuming Derek Stingley Jr. is not going to play. Tremont Smith doesn't have to be great. Not against these wide receivers. Just do the same thing. Just be in contention on every snap that goes your way. You make some plays if they're out there. If it is just as simple as, boy, did that guy screw up. Boy, was he not a fit. He was a rogue. He was a rebel. I think that they really can win, even if the offense is bad. I think they really can win this.
No, I'm with you because, again, like this feels like it would be – I mean, there's a number of games I could talk about because it's the Titans, because it's the NRG Stadium. My mind goes back to last season. What was that, week 13 when you get the Titans coming in, something like that?
Yeah.
And it's Will Levis throwing – just getting deep balls to, like, the likes of Westbrook Ikhine or Chigakonkwo, funny enough. If you have some of those instances – that are the big plays that help them either sustain drives or go and score points, when in all reality this defense is going to, like, yeah, you're going to be able to get your little 5 yards here and there, and obviously you still need to try and tackle a lot better. But I don't trust Brian Callahan. I don't trust the Titans offense. I don't trust Hardegree, the quarterback's coach that will now be the play caller, to sustain drives. And if all you got to do, not let them have the big ones, even if we're still trying to figure out and make the defense – make sure that they are not allowing those leaky yardage.
Yeah.
just don't give up the big ones, and I think you should be able to get off the field a number of times. They have had a number of issues, not even inherently Cam Ward's fault, but in that time period between the wide receivers and the offensive line, who there's a number of injuries. We talked to we talked yesterday about that on the right side of the line. I think that this should be one where you're able to get pressure on Cam Ward, who has taken 15 sacks in those first three games. You should be able to pile those on, put him under pressure, and as long as you're not giving him easy opportunities for big plays, you should be able to hamper what the Tennessee Titans are trying to do.
Now that's not to say that we're not going to have the same questions about the offense if it is a 14-10 game or something, but the defense just does its job and doesn't make those big mistakes. It's not to say that, but I think they can win, if they just, I hate to use this term because it's a coaching thing, but clean it up on the back end with the safeties and the cornerbacks and the responsibilities out there. I think the Texans can win because they, and this might be a big ask, but if they actually do run the ball more than 15 times, if they actually have designed runs more than 15 times, and as an add-on, we said it last week, we saw a little more. I really want to see more Woody Marks, like more Woody Marks. That's not a slight at Nick Chubb, but split the reps up. He's a little bit more of an explosive player. Woody Marks, for me, I think is going to be one of those guys that might be key in this thing.
Yeah, when I look at my handy-dandy stat sheet here, you want to know who the worst team is at stopping the run in the National Football League?
Who?
The Baltimore Ravens. But tied with them, these Tennessee Titans, yeah. Right? They're not very good at stopping the run. That defensive line, you have Jeffrey Simmons, who is good, don't get me wrong, but if you're talking about EPA per rush, like, it's not, they're not able to stop this at a high degree. Like, yeah. Teams are able to get good, effective runs, good, effective plays on this team running the football. You should be able to run the football, and if you can't, that's a big question, but I think that you should be able to. And the thing that's nice about this is I tried to separate this out because I think it was with Jacksonville, was it, that we were talking about the idea of, ooh, they might be kind of gettable on the outsides, or it might have been actually Tampa that we were talking about. They might be more gettable towards the outsides than the interior where they have big boys. Both inside the tackles, outside the tackles, the Tennessee Titans allow the fourth best EPA per play.
There you go.
So just run the football and make sure you get your hat on the hat. Make sure you just do the basic things well, and you should be successful running the football in this game. And keep yourself on schedule, right? Because that's the thing that they've told us. Well, this offense will look a lot better if we can stay on schedule. Run the football and be able to keep yourself on schedule. And I want to see some from this
offense. Is there anything else from you?
I think the Texans win because the Tennessee Titans are in such a bad way, especially offensively. I mentioned some of it. The right side of their offensive line is deeply injured. Obviously, Kevin Zeitler, the dude who actually we were clamoring for as a veteran player on the offensive veteran guard, he seems like he's going to be out. They're dealing with their tackle also being out. There's a whole side of the football that's going to be backups. And if there's one side of the football, I know that either way, you should have a great pass rush on that side between Daniil and Will. So, maybe both of them if you end up doing anything where you move your offensive line around. And so they should be able to get after Cam Ward. They should be able to get into the backfield. Plus, their running attack, the Titans, it doesn't look like it's as stellar as it should be, especially Tony Pollard having a tough time. You should be able to put their offense in hell.
Yeah, you really should.
Absolute hell.
Which leads to, lose because we know the obvious one, and I think we would both agree. You know, this offense just continues to look so basic, so predictable, so rudimentary is the word I've used a few times this week.
You can just say blah. I think that covers all of that.
Like it worries me. It worried me more if you were listening about 45 minutes or an hour ago. Some of the things that Nick Caley was saying. If this offense, I mean, just show something, bro. So show me something, man, that is creative, that is stretching the field, that is not something that clearly defenses can figure out. Show something there. If they don't do that, actually, it also could be a win because if they do, then all of a sudden we'll be in good shape.
And falling in line there, I think the interior of this Texans offensive line is going to be a huge place I'm watching. If for no other reason than opposite them is big number 98, Jeffrey Simmons, yeah. Right? That's the one guy that I'm really looking at that I'm terrified about. Actually, I'm trying to remember, is it Armani Hooker? It's one of their safeties that is actually rated really well. Early on in this season, which is kind of interesting, and I believe it's actually Xavier Woods. It's top graded. He's the top graded safety when it comes overall in top end coverage as well per PFF, which of course you can always take with a grain of salt. But Jeffrey Simmons is the one guy on defense that I'm really focused on because he's lining up against the interior of your offensive line, which if you're talking about your offensive line and potential weaknesses, that's where you'd look. Juice Scruggs, you end up being a guy who I'm going to be looking at because I imagine he gets the nod over Lakin Tomlinson at left guard. I imagine so. Those guys rotated last week, and if I'm going to look at what the results were,
what if they don't? What if they rotate again?
Either way, both of y'all better be on your P's and Q's, because you got a big boy in the middle, Jake Andrews, on your P's and Q's, Ed Ingram, on your P's and Q's, because these defensive tackles, like, that's going to be the thing that can blow this up. That guy right there, the edges, I'm not worried about for the Titans. That guy in the middle, interior pressure, that messes everything up. So you got to be on top of it today.
And the other thing, and this is really more of a question because it can go either way as well. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, the wide receivers have been very, very bad. A lot of it has to do with Cam Ward getting sacked 15 times, as you talked about.
Well, some of that is actually, I think it's been the receivers themselves. I don't think this is like that he's been sacked, so they've been bad. They've not known.
They've also not caught the ball.
They've not known their responsibilities. Yeah. They've had legitimate huge drops. Yeah. I think top three in EPA lost for drops. Cam Ward is like his guys aren't helping him at all.
Yeah.
And maybe if they decide to come on and start doing well,
that's what
that
I'm
ends
asking.
Up being a lose because I still think that, I mean, Kamari Lassiter is capable of locking down Calvin Ridley in my mind. I think that he has the capability here, but that's going to be an interesting challenge for those guys. So that's fair, right? Mm-hmm. What happens if the Tennessee Titans wide receivers all of a sudden
they figure it out,
figure something out. But there's a lot of what happens if all of a sudden somebody figures it out. I think the reasonable thing is to expect that the path of least resistance, which is nobody figures anything out. And if it's just your bad versus our bad, I actually like the Texans bad versus the Titans bad.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, you know, all things being equal, that is a win because, you know, they're not going to all of a sudden find it at the wide receiver position. So I feel good about this. I'm curious, not necessarily doubtful, curious what the crowd is going to look like.
Very much so.
Right?
Very much so. I want to see how much like people are still buying in, right? If people are still bought in on what this Texans team is or if it's just like the rivalry of it. And here, some of this is from the 2A1, the 8-2 rather. Texans will win because people want to keep their jobs. And I imagine some of that also is keep people in, right?
That doesn't always matter.
Well, that's fair. You got to sell. And then because of the particular matchup, win because the fans and Hannah need you to in this particular matchup. You can't afford to lose to no damn Titans at home twice.
No.
In 2 years in a row, back-to-back, it can't be that.
Especially that squad. We know that. I feel good about this overall. I think they'll get a win. But you were talking about it earlier. It's really, it's not just get the dub. It's get the dub and show me something. Like, you have to look better, especially offensively.
Right. And we can talk about that on Monday, and we will talk about that on Monday. Start by getting the victory. Like, I hate to have been pulled to this point because my convictions really are you need to start showing me something, because not that you're looking ahead, but you're coming up on a team that's going to give you fits if you're not starting to move yourself in the right direction. But start by getting the victory. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that has to happen. Some other things that have come in. Somebody said Texans lose because of Kaylee and Henry refusing to wrap up while tackling. It has
a good one. Tackling in general.
They got to tackle. They got to tackle better. I got to go back and I don't know. For some reason,
lots of missed tackles. Let's put it at that.
Yeah. For some reason, I am not terrified or afraid. Well, I mean, the reason is this team that you're going up against is not really good at anything in particular, but I'm not afraid of them running the football. But you can always be your own, you know, your own worst enemy by letting somebody who is not good at something get over in that way. I mean, the Titans are, when we talk about rush yards per game, they're pretty low in this. They're 28th in rushing, averaging 89 rush yards a game. You can't let them go for 100, clearly. Like, this needs to be one of these. This is one of their worst instances of getting out here running the football.
Boy, that's the other thing. You know, teams have run against, most recently, but teams have run against this Texans defense. So, look, man, it has to be a win. It has to be a win that looks good. And we have to see. Oh, we didn't mention the young receivers as well. Jalen Noel, get him out on the field. Use some of that speed.
Yeah. That Texans win because they're starting to understand the personnel better, right? That would have to be something that I see. And when we talk about personnel, maybe it's just as simple as Texans win because Nico. right? Because Nico Collins, one, is the best wide receiver on the field. Two, I don't see anybody on the other side that can check him. Remember, they trade Brownlee and then put another cornerback on IR. But then on top of that, your boy LeJarius Sneed out here talking mess.
Yeah.
Nico Collins got to put it on the table. I'm looking for back-to-back 100-yard
games. Nico had a 100-yard game, but I think 49 of that was on one play. I want to see him just slice and dice. 17 here, 22
How sick do you think? Like, just best case scenario, if the offense is, you know, reasonably what you've seen, and the offense is trying to get to the ball to Nico Collins, does this feel like a 150 is in tow or in play?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to – they've already tried and established that they're trying to get him the ball. It hadn't worked out consistently well. I think, yeah, I could see them getting him, you know, nine targets, seven or eight catches, 150, 160 yards would be great. Does the
– Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
You play caller, were you at all?
No.
For Tennessee?
No. The only thing that maybe, and this is one of those, you know, Texans win because, Texans lose because, I think the Texans win because Brian Callahan is a bad game manager.
Mm-hmm.
He has demonstrated himself to be that. He's looked damn near like a buffoon early on in the season. I understand taking some of those responsibilities off his plate. I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
The idea, oh, well, I'm going to take some responsibilities off my plate and I'm all of a sudden going to get good at play calling, doesn't quite happen. Mm-hmm. I still think that he's going to make more mistakes play calling then I think D'Amico will, and I think that helps also
in a
big way. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, I see you. Simultaneously, we have someone from the 281 saying Texans win because of CJ's heroics, which would be great if he gets back on track and is making the plays that he has available to him to make. But the 8-2 also goes Texans win because Mills dices up the Titans. I don't like what you're doing there. I don't like that. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions, which we always do, and we'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, we've been heavy sports this week on the confessions. I'm going to start with a non-sports one, but it's a public service. It's a public service to the great city of Houston. My city. It is.
Why'd you say you already expected me to come in and negate it? Is that how our relationship has developed? You already expect me to knock down everything you say?
All right, so I'm being serious.
Uh-huh.
So they found a body in Buffalo Bayou this morning. Did you see that?
Which is another one. They've been finding a lot of them.
It was six in a week.
Good God.
15 this year. So first of all, 15 bodies in Buffalo Bayou have been recovered. Six this week. And the story from, was it the mayor or the police chief? Excuse me for not saying, for not having that exactly right. It was the mayor, Mayor Whitmire. The story is, but we don't have any evidence that there is a serial killer loose in Houston. My confession? Do you need one? Do you need some? This is not a normal occurrence. I've been here for 36 years.
Right.
It's not like, remember.
Oh, well, there goes
another
the body
out of
there
Buffalo
goes the body.
Bayou.
Yeah.
Another body out of Buffalo Bayou. People, be careful out there. Six bodies in Buffalo Bayou in a week?
Yeah, I have a friend that used to run Buffalo Bayou, and she was like, nah, we're done with that for the time being.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have any evidence of a serial killer. What about the six bodies in the same place in a week? That's not evidence. I know it's circumstantial. I'm just saying.
You really taking this Judge John Lopez
pretty... Oh, I am
taking this dead serious.
No,
my daughter lives around there and goes jogging. I said, don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously not trying to joke in any ways about this. It's very serious. And I think ultimately I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why you'd be like, hey, you're trying. And in the sake of like public safety and not sending people.
Remain calm.
Yeah, we're keeping people calm. Not, hey, that doesn't mean there's a serial killer. I think for the individual, probably should proceed as though there is.
Yeah.
Right? When it comes to things of danger.
That's what I said. Do you need any?
Proceed in a way of caution. So yeah, if you got loved ones or if you yourself like running Buffalo Bayou, maybe be a little bit more cognizant, make some thoughts or have some thoughts or about maybe changing your practices beyond that.
Yes. Again, I don't remember, in the 36 years I've been here, I never remember like a stretch, you know, where they're like, oh, another body coming out of Buffalo Bayou.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that it was all definitely, right. It's definitely been enough where I was just like, that's very, very odd.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
All right, Lopez, I know I'm annoy you at times with all the sport, with the stats and stuff, and I lean into the stats guy. I do want to circle, there was a stat that made me go, I don't know if I'm really going all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so my confession
is... Oh, you're not in with the stats.
My confession is I'm kind of conflicted here. Are you familiar with Tom Haberstroh?
Of course.
He's in the basketball sphere, one of the most respected kind of stats, reporter or writer in that space.
Geeks.
And he, I guess you could call him that. I would not. he works for Yahoo Sports at the point, and he on a podcast... gave this stat about the Houston Rockets that definitely will raise ears.
Amen Thompson with Reed Shepard on the floor and no Fred VanVleet and no Jalen Green. Plus 9.2 every 100 possessions. Defensive rating 101.
Ooh.
Turnovers created way up.
These guys are getting way too excited about number. Ooh.
Well, would that not get you excited?
Let me put a sock on the door.
Like, would that not get you excited? Like, this is the thing is I want to be excited about this because you know me. I jumped up and I was like, I don't know how much I feel about the Amen Thompson at point guard.
Mm-hmm.
That is with Amen on the floor and Reed Shepard obviously giving you an opportunity to space, but then not having Fred VanVleet, who you won't, and then Jalen Green, who was obviously not on the team anymore. Those are good numbers. Those are really good numbers.
Those are really good numbers. Uh-huh.
The tough part about it is I immediately, my radar went off and I was like, how many minutes did those guys play together? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to circumnavigate and, you know, kind of get back to what he exactly searched for. And I couldn't get exactly, but I know that they didn't even play up to like 300 minutes together. Or they
That's what I was wondering.
Total.
That's what I was wondering.
All last year. Mm-hmm. Talk less of when you siphoned out Fred VanVleet minutes that might have been in there with them. So the question I had was, how reliable is that information, especially when you think about who they were playing against?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Amen and Reed against starters?
Was that
against reserves, and how does that track? But I do, like, something within me is conflicted because I do like that there's just generally a positive number that you could put on those two on the floor together. I just don't know how much I can take that to mean. Well, that means that when Amen and Reed are on the floor, that this Rockets team is going to be humming. I can't quite get there.
Welcome to the dark side.
These are my confessions.
All right, so this Diana Russini thing, I'm festering is not the right word, but it just sort of just continues to bounce around in my head. Diana Russini is one of the most respected and plugged in reporters out there. And catch the end of this, because my confession is I cannot help myself but wonder, you know, what it is.
Diana, is CJ Stroud any good? What is going on with Houston?
It's a good question. I'm writing about it this week. CJ Stroud is really good. I think they are still trying to figure themselves out on offense. They have a new play caller. They have a different looking offensive line. I still think they're working some kinks out. So he's still good. I'm not on this. I'm not in the camp of he's ruining his opportunity here to get some mega extension. I still think CJ Stroud can play. I just think there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're going to find out about soon.
There's some things going around behind the scenes that I think we're going to find out about soon. And in the meantime, she started that answer with, I'm writing about it this week.
Yeah, I need that story to come out, like, now.
Yeah.
Like, I need that now. Because also, like, as we try and, you know, break down what she might have been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like she was talking about offense, right? So this wasn't necessarily talking about defense, it didn't feel like. Does that feel fair?
It does for the most part, but it could be more dynamic like, you know, leadership, coaching, you know, that kind of thing, which might lead to the offense ultimately, but if you're connecting dots. And that's part of my confession. I am very curious. Like, she's not like, you know, Twitter fan X.
No, not nearly.
That just puts stuff out there. I heard that blah, blah, blah. No, she wouldn't say this unless there was something going on behind.
Can you give me the very end of what Diana Rossini, obviously the part that everybody has been most
fascinated
about.
But the beginning is
about.
Interesting, too.
It is, yeah. It is.
But I'm writing about it this week. He goes, that's interesting. I'm writing about it this week.
Yeah. Give me the very end of what Diana Rossini said to the Dan Le Batard show.
There's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're going to find out about soon.
Some things I'm trying to see to what degree. Like, is that discord?
Well, I of course, reckless speculation.
Let's do it. Reckless speculation.
Let me throw out some names. I'll just throw out the name and tell me if you think this might be involved.
Okay.
I'll throw the obvious one out. Nick Cayley.
That definitely feels like, I just don't know could be what it. To win. Like, is that already thinking about taking play calling responsibilities away from him?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's possible. Okay, I'm with you.
Joe Mixon.
Ah, yeah, because we haven't heard not word the first about Joseph Mixon.
Mm-hmm. C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
I feel like we already know about it.
But
by the
maybe
time
there
she
were
said
some
this.
Things going on behind. My thing was, did he get in a fist fight with somebody or something? Or was it, did he sort of, you know, sort of, who knows what? I mean, again, this is reckless speculation. But that's a name that popped around in my head. Another one, C.J. Stroud. I've said it. You've Fair. Said it. Everybody's seen it. He just doesn't look quite the same. Morose is the word that the morning guys used. Could he be, you know, the little kerfuffles that he had with the Bobby Slowick last year? Is it escalating now that it's still not working? That's just four options there that have kind of just been bouncing around in my head, and there might be more.
Yeah, no, I'm in with you on all of those as possibilities. I see you, Cornbread, on the YouTube saying, how do you know it's going to be drama? It could just be the offense is not a fit. No. Sorry, we're gonna Zapruder film this one more time from the top here, Byron. Because again, if you listen to what she said, the middle portions of what she said doesn't track with, well, it's just the offense isn't a fit in that's coming out in her article.
There's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're gonna find out about soon.
No, from the very top, yeah. Byron, the entirety of this thing of Diana Rossini, who is an NFL insider for The Athletic. She was on the Dan Le Batard show. They asked her about what's happening with this Texans team, and this is what she said.
Diana, is CJ Stroud any good? What is going on with Houston?
It's a good question. I'm writing about it this week. CJ Stroud is really good. I think they are still trying to figure themselves out on offense. They have a new play caller. They have a different looking offensive line. I still think they're working some kinks out. So he's still good. I'm not on this. I'm not in the camp of he's ruining his opportunity here to get some mega extension. I still think CJ Stroud can play. I just think there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're gonna find out about soon.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Goes straight from you know, she kind of grunts and says, I'm right about it this week, to immediately the offense. To immediately after that, C.J. Stroud, still trying to work
defensive
some things
C.J.
out.
Defensive C.J. Stroud, and a strong defensive C.J. Stroud.
To immediately, you know,
they're
some things going
out.
On. Yeah,
maybe it is just like, hey, this is the problem with what's been happening with the offense. But again, we can see that the offense is bad. I don't think that her reporting would be that. I think it'd be the reasons why, which seems like it'd be salacious. Ultimately, we have to wait for her to drop her piece, and I think this might be the most eagerly I've been awaited a Diana Rossini piece, even though I love reading her writing. So, yeah, that is one of those things that, I'm going to be honest, that doesn't give me encouragement headed into a weekend game. Like, if this was any other team than the lowly Tennessee Titans at this point, I would not be very comfortable. I'm going to be entirely honest.
There's some options out there.
There are. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are your lunchtime confessions. And I see you, 832. Can we stop embarrassing ourselves in front of the hoes, Texans? Agree. Strong agree. So hopefully we get that figured out. All right, we're in the 12 o'clock hour here in the loop. So we will be giving away a 4-pack of tickets to the Houston Cougars Texas Tech game that'll be happening next week. Stick around, because coming up next, it's time for John Lopez's college football headline as we get ready for what should be a really intriguing college football weekend. We'll get you that headline next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Friday. Getting up for a important weekend in Texans football, an important weekend in Astros baseball, and what should be a fun and interesting weekend in college football. So let's get it popping right now. John Lopez, what is your college football headline, which is our college football preview presented by Walmart?
Yeah, the theme of the week is Sphincter Saturday. Are you with me? Let me explain.
I think so. I hope.
It's Sphincter Saturday.
Why'd you pick a word you couldn't say?
I can say it usually. I'm just stumbling all over it. Let's talk about this. A lot of big games this weekend. Let's not bury the lead here. Number 6, Oregon at number 3, Penn State. Is anybody's backside going to be tighter than on the sphincter meter than James Franklin's?
I mean, if there is someone, I have real concerns for them and their posture and their sphincter, which is a word that we've said way too often already. No, I mean, these are the types of games that I guess, you know, kind of people have jokingly said that James Franklin does not show up for, right?
4-20 against top 10 teams.
Yeah, these are the games that are tough. And what stinks is that this is not the Oregon of 4 or 5 years ago that you can maybe look at and go, all right, maybe they are soft,
well,
six overall. No, this is a team that in the trenches will get after you. This is an SEC type team, and I hate to call it SEC because it's not like SEC has a...
But they kind of defined it.
They don't have a monopoly on this, but that's kind of what we think of. They're big, they're bruising, and there's talent on Penn State, but can you organize the talent in a way where you can take on one of these good teams?
Yeah.
This is going to be quite a challenge for James Franklin to see if this year, this time, with all the talent he has, they can get over that particular hump.
It is... It's almost going to impact his career. Even more so than some of these other losses have. They're in such a quandary at State College with him because he has elevated them to this is frankly I think his best team he's ever put together, this Penn State team. You lose at home on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
The whiteout day night against Oregon. I mean, what do? You just keep going, huh?
You just keep going. And I mean, Dan Lanning, I love him as a coach. It feels like he's prepared for all this. Even though it is a whiteout, which is weird because Penn State does the whiteout, but they do blue jerseys, which feels like that's not inherently a whiteout.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like, they also have the Mo Bamba that they play where Happy Valley gets real loud. Oregon's already prepared for this. They practiced with all of that. I don't think that there's going to be any level of punk in them. I think they're going in there looking for blood. So Penn State,
yeah.
Like, there's not going to be any Penn State, we got this because we were at home. You're going to need to go and win this.
The crowd and all that, it's going to impact it.
You're going to need to win this.
You're going to need to win it. Another one. By the way, what would the television graphic be for Sphincter Saturday?
It'd be a lemon.
It'd be a lemon?
You know what I mean?
That's a good one.
It's a pucker.
Number 16, Alabama at number 5, Georgia. This is what I was thinking. Kalen DeBoer is probably always, for the entirety of his career, unless he wins a national championship, he'll always be one loss away from more rumors about firing him at Alabama, just because of who he followed.
Also, that's kind of how this happens at Alabama.
You want to
understand why Nick Saban was so damn uppity and grouchy even when they won? Because you're always one loss away from them throwing a brick through your window.
But even Saban had some rope, you know. But
He didn't seem to believe he did.
No,
but
he
didn't.
No, Kalen DeBoer,
I get what you're saying, though. Kalen DeBoer is in no circumstance than Nick Saban was. But my point is, it's already fraught when it comes to Alabama generally. So, yeah, you better show up, big dog.
At Georgia, between the hedges, they've had a couple of pretty
pretty decent get right games, the Crimson Tide. But you go in there and boy, if you get kind of run off the field a little bit, then it gets really, really ugly. So it's gonna be tight for Kalen DeBoer at all. This
fair
is
fair enough from the 713, it'd actually be a starfish. All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is another interesting one for me because number four LSU, and I think I said it early on in the season after I caught a glimpse or two of them. I mean, they're overwhelmingly talented, and they're going to number 13 Ole Miss. And they are relying a lot on Garrett Nussmeier, like too much. They're not running the ball, which is incredible, but their defense is spectacular.
There's a number of teams for whom it's kind of that, where the quarterback is offering a lot of the rushing offense. Mm-hmm. Some of that just feels like where football is to some degree. Did you see the fun story as a subsection of this Ole Miss LSU game? Obviously, Ole Miss head coach is Lane Kiffin, notorious college football personality. His daughter, Landry Kiffin, apparently decided the week of this matchup to go Facebook official or whatever, like, you know, hard launch the relationship between her and defensive captain on LSU, their middle linebacker. Like, this is real, like Lane Kiffin gave birth to himself. Because this is something that I imagine Lane Kiffin would do just to annoy the authorities in his life. And here his daughter is doing that. Lane has assured us that Landry will be rooting for Ole Miss. But that's a choice. That's a choice to be like, you know what? I would like to announce the relationship that I have with my father's opponent for the week right now.
Well, at least there's one Kiffin looking forward to the LSUD.
Come on. Why would you do that?
There is. So
you know what you're doing. You hear, and you didn't help, Byron. I don't like you cutting out the music so that that could be heard.
No, there was an ad that came up.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So it's going to be really, really interesting there. Auburn at number 9, Texas A&M. I think, you know, I don't know if Mike Elko so much is going to be tight about this one. He just seems to be the right guy. He's very disciplined. You heard Nick Cassera raving about him and all that. But I think Aggies going to be tight about this one because I think they have a game right here coming off a bye week after a huge win against Notre Dame. Here comes Auburn with a really good quarterback and a team that has kind of gone back and forth with the Aggies over the years. I think the record is 4-3, something like that. So the Aggies a little bit, but oh, by the way, look on the other sideline too. Hugh Freeze. There's going to be a little tightness over there, too.
Yeah, probably should be. Marcel Reed, can you take advantage of a defense that's not good at stopping the pass? Mm-hmm. 114th in the nation when it comes to EPA on the pass defensively. This is an opportunity for him with the arm, and he's already demonstrated he looks pretty good with it. Go ahead and do what you need to do against the team. I mean, because if he doesn't, it's not the easiest matchup otherwise, right? Like, as you mentioned, they can run the football a decent amount. A&M's had a little bit of issues.
Yeah,
stopping the run.
The kid from UTSA ran over him.
Yeah, so Henry Jr., I believe is his name.
Yeah.
Now he looks like he's that kind of running back this year.
Yeah.
But don't let that happen again with Auburn, or at least make it hard for them to run the football consistently because you're putting up yards passing the football and getting into the end zone. Marcel, it's on you.
No, it is a couple of Auburn wide receivers. One is definitely out. One might be out. And then we're going to see, you know, the Aggie receivers. It really is for the Aggies, you know, coming off that Notre Dame game and a bye week. This has all the markings of, trap and all that stuff. If they live up to it and they take care of business against a quality Auburn opponent, then I think everybody in Aggieland is going to start feeling a little better. Then there's this one. And I think both sidelines, again, are going to be pretty tight, you know, determining on how this plays out. Number 22, Notre Dame at Arkansas.
Yeah.
That is going to be a fun, fun game.
Arkansas is in a real bad place. Letting Memphis do that to you last week is going to be deeply frustrating. Taylen Green, as I'm starting to call dudes out, hey, buddy, what can you do? Especially because if you don't do it this week, when will you? This Notre Dame defense is a problem. I know Sean has
not
made
the good one.
No. That is a good point. Thank you for clarifying that. Which is super surprising under Marcus Freeman. I know there's people that have already asked Marcus Freeman whether he will take over play calling duties with the defense. It's a real problem for them, for a team that should be and really is good to have a defense of this problem level is kind of concerning. Can Arkansas take advantage of it? Because you talk about puckering. I'll tell you someone who is not puckered. Is,
we should have used that earlier, that word.
I got words for this. You the word, man. You the one that couldn't come up with the word. The sphincter, what was it?
Sphincter.
Sam Pittman, he's been escaping falling daggers for a year or 2 years at this point. This is a real, they are hanging very closely over his head.
Both sides to me.
And you got, is it Petrino in the building offensively
yes,
as well?
He's waiting in the wings.
I will tell you, I heard reporting, or I read reporting that Petrino is already talking to boosters, which means...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That means that he is looking at that chair in your office like, ooh,
yeah.
The grooves look like they would fit my bottom nicely.
That looks comfy, but how about Notre Dame? You know, I still think really, really good team. They bounced back from the Aggie game with a win over Purdue, but they gave up 30 points. They won 56-30 or something. The Notre Dame defense is...
And Purdue is not good. Purdue might be one of the, if not the worst, FBS teams right now.
So, what changes might there be on the defense? How tight, how much puckering with Notre Dame? Fayetteville, you can often overstate crowd noise and stadium vibes and all. Fayetteville's a tough, tough place to go in and win. So there's that. The one other thing that's a worry for Notre Dame, Marcel Reed ran for like 26 or 36 yards. I forget what it was against the Irish, but it was really on very few attempts. He was more selective. He was more just kind of buying time and throwing the ball. Talen Green is not going to buy time.
No.
Yeah, Talen Green's going to tuck that ball.
Big boy going to run.
He's going to run 18 or 20 times on that Notre Dame defense. And so they're tight. Sam Pittman is tight. It's going to be a fun weekend. And there's a bunch of other games as well. So.
Anybody else who you're looking at as going to be tight this weekend, or is that the fullness of it? I am surprised. Were you surprised that Illinois still remains in the top 25? Because it did not feel like seeing them. Oh, I do know who is tight, though. I should have mentioned this. USC head coach.
Oh, he hates it. he hates it.
Lincoln Riley, because they go from having literally one of the latest kicks last week, actually probably the latest available kick in the contiguous United States, to now having the earliest. They are on big noon? Yeah, they're big noon Saturday.
Yeah, 11 a.m.
against Illinois at 11 a.m. Central.
And he went off.
Time, which of course is different body clock. That's 9 a.m. body clock time for USC. He went off, but I'm like, hey, you know how you fix that? Mm-hmm. How about being a conference with teams that are in a similar time zone as you? Maybe a whole bunch of teams in the Pacific. Maybe you could call it something related to that. I don't know.
Yeah,
no, this is part of being in the Big Ten in a conference that spans the nation. You're going to end up in all of these crazy time zones. You're just going to have to deal with that. That's part of being the head coach here.
They chose this, man. They chose this. It's what they wanted. Some other games, I don't know if they necessarily fit the
pucker mantra.
The pucker.
Hey, I'll tell you a team that is feeling the pucker, even though I'm not sure that they should. Number 11, Indiana.
I was going to mention them.
Yeah. Facing off against Iowa. Mm-hmm. And you know why that might be pucker? Because Big Ten. That's it. Like, there's no other it's just, this is Big Ten. Iowa is that type of team, at least in theory. But Indiana's a much better team than Iowa.
Well, you saw what they did last week. Just running them off the field. Good slate beginning to end. And then, of course, at the very end of the evening, you're going to have, actually, it's tonight is what I was going to say. You know, real good game. Houston, well, I don't know about the good game part, but Houston at Oregon State, 9:30 p.m.
If you like seeing Houston win football games, I have a feeling that you'll want to watch 9:30 where the University of Houston plays. If you want to watch the University of Houston play in person, all you got to do is be caller number 10 right now, 713-572-4610. That is what you need to do to win a four-pack of tickets to see the University of Houston take on Texas Tech. Leaders in the clubhouse in the Big 12, they will be visiting TDECU Stadium next week. And if you are call number 10 right now, 713-572-4610, you and three of your friends can be there in the building to watch one of the best matchups of next week, courtesy of the University of Houston for making those tickets available. That is your college football preview here in the Loop, brought to you by Walmart. All right, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's continue to get ready for Texans Titans. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.